This is Lee Bowman with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present The Love Tree, starring Lee Bowman.
Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Yes, it's Carnation bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, today we're saying welcome home to a man who's been away from movie town much too long, Lee Bowman.
Oh, thanks, Art. After a little better than 6 months, it's nice to be back.
Well, naturally, we're not going to ask the reason for your absence because we all know you've been in New York doing your television show, Ellery Queen.
Oh, that's right. We've just finished one series and the next one begins on April 16th.
Are you going to add another picture to your long list of credits while you're here, Lee?
Well, I'm afraid there won't be time for that this trip. No, I just took advantage of our hiatus to come out and see my mother and dad and play a little tennis and get some sun.
Sounds like a real vacation.
Sounds great, Art, yeah, except that I landed in town just a week ago, the day the California sunshine started coming down in buckets, remember?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Well, looks like you'll just have to spend the rest of your stay catching up on that tan. And now, before we hear today's story, there's something I'd like to say to our listeners. Friends, if you haven't tried Carnation evaporated milk in your cooking, you have a wonderful surprise coming. For Carnation performs cooking miracles not possible with any other form of milk. Due to heat refining, Carnation brings about a perfect blend of ingredients. And because Carnation is more than double rich as well, all your milk recipes will have far better quality and flavor. It's a difference you can't help but notice. And Carnation is economical, too. Even when you mix it with an equal amount of water, you still have milk that's richer than any state standard for bottled milk. Yet Carnation costs far less than bottled milk and less than half as much as cream. So for all milk purposes, for most cream purposes, switch to Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of The Love Tree, starring Lee Bowman in the role of George McGill. Curtain going up.
I'm George McGill, reporter for the Morning Journal City Hall beat. Well, her name was Ariel Harvey. One day she showed up in the office as a photographer, and in a month's time she had me juggling hot flash bulbs and lugging her photo case all over town. Then, when she was just about to stuff my head for her trophy room, it happened. Davis, our ferret-faced city editor, called me in.
McGill, how are you and the belle of the bulbs getting along?
Oh, we nod pleasantly to each other in the corridors.
That's not what the boys tell me. They say you're spending so much time in the dark room, you need a lantern on your hat.
Do you want to buy the story of my life?
Yeah. From pennies to penthouses. From the automat to the store club. Oh, who was that girl I seen you with? Oh, that was no girl. That was the boss's daughter.
Davis, try to stand up and walk a straight line.
I haven't tasted anything stronger than vanilla extract for a week. McGill, you've been writing political stories so long, you started to act like the people you write about.
What do you mean?
You've learned how to promote. Use a ripe opportunity. You're either smarter than I thought or a bigger heel.
Oh, this conversation has suddenly left the realm of the humorous. Explain yourself, and in gentlemanly language.
You've known all along who Ariel Harvey really is.
Well, a pretty girl with a camera. What else?
And a phony name. For the real one, consult who's who.
I left my copy on a stool at O'Brien's.
Harriet Amboy Wedgley.
Means nothing.
Listed under Wedgley, R.F., as progeny.
Davis, it isn't true.
Look it up. McGill, your act is worth a week at the Orpheum. You knew it all along. I just found out today.
R.F. Wedgley has something to do with his paper, hasn't he?
Oh, nothing much. His investment firm merely owns 80% of it.
Yeah. Look, Davis, are you sure you've got the right information?
We hired her because the front office ordered us to. It took me a while to find out who she really was, but I finally did it. Now, don't tell me you didn't know.
I didn't.
I don't believe you.
It's true. To me, she's just been Ariel Harvey, female photographer, and a girl I fell in love with. But even if I knew, what difference would it make to you?
None at all. Except for one thing. After you marry her, guess what city editor would be out of a job and what reporter would be taking his place?
Oh, now, Davis, you know I'd never do a thing like that.
Well, if you don't, you wasted a lot of hours in the dark room.
In a minute, I'm going to stuff your face with a ream of copy paper.
Just try it.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Am I interrupting anything?
Yes, the Third World War.
The canvas and trowel pictures are finished, Mr. Davis.
Thanks.
So is something else.
What, Jill?
Tell me something. What's your name?
Ariel Harvey. Now, do I get the $1,000?
Well, I have it on reliable authority that your name is Harriet Amboy Wedgley. Well?
All right, I'll own up, Jill. I was Harriet Wedgley, but I'm not anymore. I'm Ariel Harvey, the girl you were in love with. I hope you still are.
Well, now, look, it's been grand, but I know my place. You've been down with the poor people, playing at working with them, living with them. But I'm not weak-minded enough to believe that you'd throw away your box in the diamond horseshoe for a typewriter.
But I would, Jill. I want to live your kind of life.
Why?
Because I'm in love with you. And I'll be honest with you from now on. We'll get jobs on another newspaper.
Now, wait a minute.
Or go somewhere and work on those short stories you've started. Or that novel you've planned.
McGill, have you been writing short stories?
Yes. And I'm going to finish them. And pour into them all the sad, miserable lives people live. So long, Miss Ariel, Harriet, Amboy, Harvey, Wedgley. Get somebody else to handle your hot flash ball.
Mr. Davis, he's gone.
He'll be back tomorrow like a homing pigeon. It's in his blood.
But I'm not, and I want to be. I want him to love or hate me for myself, not my father.
This is on the level?
Mr. Davis, he's the man I want.
Well, Miss Wedgley...
Harvey?
Yeah, Harvey, yeah. I got you into this, and I guess it's up to me to help get you out. But just remember one thing. With George McGill, you gotta be tough.
Hello, Davis.
Well, McGill, you run out of money?
Almost.
Have you made up your mind to honor us with the use of your fine talent?
Dock me a day's pay and call it even. Mail me the lecture.
I'm not lecturing. Your life is your own.
Okay. Give me an assignment.
Yeah, been saving one for you. Yeah, read this letter. It was sent to the Lovelorn editor. Some goon by the name of Horace Fisk says that his girl won't marry him, so starting today, he's going to live up in a tree in his front yard. When she makes up her mind, he'll come down.
He'd be a lot better off in the tree. But why me on a story like this? My beat's City Hall.
Yeah, you need a change. Get some fresh air. I'm sending a lens with you.
Lemaitre?
No.
Boulder?
No.
Not...
Precisely.
All right, Davis. It's a good thing the Army taught me it's useless to buck orders, but don't try to play Cupid. You couldn't hit the Yale bowl with an arrow.
Get moving.
Well, this looks like the address we want.
I can see a man in a tree and a pretty fair crowd for this time of the morning.
Come on. Get what pictures you can. And I want more than just leaves.
You do your job and I'll do mine.
Excuse me, please. Hello up there. Are you Horace Fisk?
Yes. Won't do any good to try to get me to come down because it won't.
Well, I'm a reporter from the Journal. Can I talk to you?
Well, all right, but I'm not going to shout. I have to save my voice.
Do you mind if I come up?
Oh, this will be the best shot of the day.
You shoot me climbing that tree, you seal your doom.
All right, Towson, you're on. Stand back, everybody. If this man falls, you'll all be crushed by the weight of his ego.
Here, take my hand.
Got it.
Well, you made it.
Yeah, thanks to you. How did you do it?
Oh, I've been up here dozens of times, building my little bower of bliss in the leaves.
Look, Fisk. What's this all about?
Well, I've been engaged to a girl for 14 years.
Yeah? Well, let's make that girl a woman.
To me, she's still a little girl.
And after 14 years of going together, I asked her to marry me. You know what she said?
Go climb a tree?
Oh, you're clever. Oh, that's very good. That's very good. But that isn't what she said. She encompassed her whole unreasonable attitude in one word. No.
Well, she probably wanted to get to know you better first.
Well, I told her outright, without hesitation or equivocation, that if she wouldn't marry me, I would go live in a tree until she made up her mind to do so.
But do you think she will?
If she doesn't, I shall set an all-time record for tree sitting.
Yeah. You really go for this girl.
She is the motivating force of my life. She's an example of classic beauty. Not the conventional cover girl type.
Ah, really a dish, huh?
For me, she walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies. And all that's best of dark and light meet in her aspect and her...
Bank book?
Eyes.
Oh.
Though she does have a few pounds tucked away.
Well, what do you do for a living, Horace?
I'm a composer of greeting card verse. To you, dear soul, with all my worth, I've loved you since your day of birth.
Have the Pulitzer Prize people heard about this?
No, Mr...
McGill. George McGill.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I write for the people. And Alicia Coffin.
Alicia Coffin?
The woman who has driven me to this high-altitude haven.
Oh, oh.
She inspired me to write my famous Get Well Soon card, which goes, although the microbes have you flat and the doctors probe your tummy...
Hmm?
You'll soon be back with all your friends, and sis, and dad, and mummy.
Well, just the thought makes one spring out of bed. Tell me, where does this inspiring damsel live?
At 231 Winter Street, downstairs. If you see her, mention my name.
Oh, in capital letters. But, Fisk, old man, my advice to you is to recognize a good thing while you've got it, and stay in this tree forever. To go back to the earth and women is to fall into a pit of hungry crocodiles.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, The Love Tree, starring Lee Bowman, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here, as usual, is Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake. Mary, how are you this fine spring day?
Art, it may be spring by the calendar, but it still feels good indoors. This is really coffee cake weather, you know.
Come to think of it, a slice of fresh baked coffee cake would taste mighty good.
As a matter of fact, Art, there's no reason why coffee cake shouldn't taste far better than good, with more and more cooks discovering carnation for baking.
Carnation does make a difference, doesn't it, Mary?
I should say it does, Art. Carnation gives results in baking that you just can't get with any other form of milk.
And that goes for all cake batters, folks. You see, carnation milk is heat-refined, and it makes baked things lighter and more tender.
And, of course, carnation's double richness gives cakes perfectly delicious flavor.
Yes, when it comes to baked goods, as with so many other foods that call for milk, heat-refined carnation performs miracles not possible with any other form of milk. So, friends, be sure you have carnation evaporated milk in your kitchen at all times. We return now to the second act of The Love Tree, starring Lee Bowman in the role of George McGill.
When I saw Alicia Coffin, I realized something about Fisk. Either he was more droll than I imagined, or he needed glasses. As he said, she did have a few pounds tucked away, and all of them right around her hips. She had all the classic beauty of a pear. I was about to tell her she'd better snap up Fisk's offer while it was still hot, but she and Ariel started talking, and I had to elbow my way into the conversation.
My advice, Miss Coffin, is to make the man come to you. After a couple of cold nights in that tree...
Miss Harvey, if you want to give me your camera, we'll change jobs.
Sorry, Mr. McGill.
Now, Miss Coffin, all I want to know is, what's behind all this? Why won't you marry Horace Fisk, whose heart at this moment is pounding away for your answer?
Well, if you want it in plain words, he promised me that before we were married, he would give me an autographed copy of Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman, and he hasn't.
Is that the only reason you refused him?
Oh, my goodness, do I need another reason?
Well, I guess not. Shall we go, Harvey?
As you say. Miss Coffin, I admire your spirit.
Well, I always believe in holding a man to his promise. If you can't trust him before you're married, you can't trust him after you're married.
My sentiments.
Harvey, you've just talked yourself out of a marriage on your own platform.
Won't you come again?
We'll come back and talk about Whitman.
Well, if you see Horace, tell him I'm still waiting.
We'll dash right over, Miss Coffin. Goodbye.
I hoped you'd come back to my tree, Mr. McGill. I was getting a little tired of having no one to talk with.
Oh, Fisk, old man, I've just had a tete-a-tete with your enamorata, Alicia Coffin.
Oh, how did you find her?
Easy. Rang the bell and just looked 5 feet in any direction.
Yeah. She is a rather large girl.
Is she all right?
Oh, she's in great shape, Fisk. She said the reason she won't marry you is that you promised her a copy of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, autographed, and haven't delivered. Now, what's holding you up?
Fellow climber McGill, autographed copies of that book are as rare as logic in a Gertrude Stein sentence. There just ain't any.
Well, then, why did you promise such a tender, trusting girl?
It was all part of the grand plan of great romantic love. It wasn't meant to be literal, only she took it that way. Unfortunately, I touched the spring of one of her great passions, Walt Whitman. It overflowed.
Will you break that one down?
Well, to put it this way, I was just being romantically poetic. I've done everything poetically, and she cooperated. Oh, I've sent her long, epic rhymes. I've serenaded her at midnight with an ancient lute. I've gone barefoot with her in fields of wildflowers. Mm-hmm. And I've stood by the sea at dawn.
Yeah, well, that's enough. You've made your point. Now, look.
Mr. McGill, come on down. It's time for lunch, and I'm hungry.
I'll be down in a minute, Harvey. Now, Fisk, what do you propose to do?
Just wait here until she realizes that common sense will, in this case, triumph over romanticism.
And if that doesn't work?
I shall, in this very tree, write a book of poetry that will go Walt Whitman one better. And then she will transfer her affection from Whitman to me.
Well, stick it out, my friend. You have me on your side.
So that's the whole story, huh, McGill?
That's it, Davis.
Well, if that's all there is, write it up and we'll keep our eyes on him for a few days.
If you gentlemen will pardon me, that isn't the way a good editor and a genius-type reporter should talk.
Huh?
Well, it's your family paper. Tell us, how should the dialogue run?
The editor should say, "This has the makings of a big story. Color, drama, a great circulation stunt."
And what should the reporter say?
The reporter should pound his fist on the desk and say, "Chief, I'll make that story. And it'll be so warm and human and lovable that we'll add 5,000 new subscribers in a week."
Only in this case, there's nothing to make a big story out of.
Oh, isn't there? I'm ashamed of you, McGill.
Why don't you have your father fire me?
Because I told him I love you.
I knew it. There goes my job.
Oh, can't either of you see the story here? Now, look. The only thing that keeps these two lyric lovers apart, that robs them of the sublime happiness of marital joy, is a little book with a man's name written in it.
Hey, that's it.
At last.
We get the book, sure. Bring them together in holy matrimony and give our readers the feeling that we really care about the stupid things people do.
Exact. Only since when has marriage been stupid?
Since I found out about your alias.
Gio.
McGill, go out and find that book. Bring those two lost people together. That's an assignment. And don't come back until you do it, or you won't be here long enough to take my job. Well, what are you hanging around for, McGill?
Money to buy the book with.
See the cashier, and be sure you use it for the book. Get moving.
Come on in the dark room, Gio. Nothing's cooking.
Look, Harvey, dispense with the pleasantries. I came in here to tell you that you put me in a very embarrassing position.
What's wrong? Couldn't you find the book?
You know I couldn't.
A good reporter never gives up.
Miss Harvey, I...
Temper.
Well, I can see this was a waste of time. Harvey, I trust you'll excuse me while I try to forget that I ever worked on this paper.
Just a minute, Gio. It just so happens that I have a copy of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, autographed.
On the level?
Now, would I joke about something so important?
Well, I'm somehow convinced you would.
Well, here it is, right on my desk.
Let me see it.
Not until we settle a few things.
Like what?
I have a little paper I want you to sign.
Yeah? What's on it?
In this paper, you say that from now on you'll be nice to me. Stop growling about everything and do any favor I ask of you.
Oh, no.
No signing, no bookie.
Huh? Well, all right. I guess it's nothing you could take me into court for. But I think you're crazy. Where do I sign?
Right here. Thank you, Mr. McGill. Now, here's the book. Carry it in triumph to your editor. It's the McCoy.
One thing. Where did you
No questions, please.
All right. I know when I'm well off. Oh, Harvey, I don't mind telling you that you saved my life. I'll see you.
Hope I saved it for me.
Mr. McGill, I'm so thrilled I can scarcely sit still.
Well, then don't. Feel free, Miss Coffin, to cavort around the furniture.
I knew Horace wouldn't disappoint me.
Will you marry him now?
Oh, of course. We've had the license for some time.
Miss Coffin, this is a lot to ask, but would you consider marrying Horace and his tree? Your picture would be carried in papers all over the country, and it would help the sale of his poetry.
Whatever Horace wants to do, I'm all his, you know.
Oh, that's a lot, Miss Coffin.
Hello?
Hello, Davis?
Yeah.
McGill, everything's fine. They're going to get married in the tree. I just talked to Fisk. So here's what I need. A minister, a hook and ladder from the fire department so he can climb up and perform the ceremony, a derrick to lift Alicia Coffin up to a branch, a bridal veil, flowers, and a wedding ring. Compliments to the Journal.
McGill, are you crazy?
You want to do this right, don't you? It'll hit every newspaper and every newsreel in the country. Oh, and I'm going to be best man, and Ariel Harvey is going to be bridesmaid.
I don't think our old man Wesley will like this.
Well, I hope he doesn't and jerks her off the paper. Now it's my turn to say, get moving.
All right, you talked me into it.
Isn't this exciting, Jill?
Yeah.
Look at all those people down there, and the police, and the newsreel men. How did you ever do it?
My native genius.
Mr. McGill, do you think that derrick will get Alicia up here all right?
Don't worry, Fisk. That derrick could lift the locomotive.
Here she comes.
Swing her over to the right a little.
Oh, Alicia, don't slip.
Yeah, come on.
All right, now, let her down slowly.
Oh, I'm saying it.
Okay,
oh, Alicia, darling.
Now, later, kids. Let's undo the ropes.
Oh, I'll help.
There we are. Well, now, she's all clear.
Here comes the minister on the ladder.
Oh, Horace is the most exciting thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, I'm a bit excited myself, Alicia.
Is my veil on straight?
Looks beautiful.
Oh. Where's the ring?
I have it. Oh, here comes the minister. Good morning, sir.
Well, are we all ready to begin?
All set.
Fine.
Okay, boys, you can start the cameras.
And I now pronounce you man and wife. You may kiss the bride.
Oh, well, gladly.
Oh, Horace, that's the first time you ever kissed me.
Well, you won't have to wait 14 years for the next one. Mr. McGill.
Yes, Horace.
You made all this possible. I wish you'd kiss the bride, too.
Well, a pleasure.
After the bride comes the bridesmaid.
I'll have to climb over onto Alicia's branch.
Well, don't slip.
I come from a long line of squirrels. Now, may I kiss you, Mrs. Fisk?
Of course.
The bridge broke! Alicia!
No!
Are you hurt?
I'm all right, Horace, darling. I landed on Mr. McGill.
Gil, how are you?
A little flatter, but otherwise okay.
I'm going to climb right down now and take care of my bride.
That's the spirit.
Come on down, Ariel.
No.
Oh, now, don't be silly.
I just rented the tree for Mr. Fisk, and I'm going to stay up here until you decide to marry me.
Ariel, you're crazy.
I don't care.
The newsreels, all these people.
I hope they get good pictures of us. I'm going to make you the laughingstock of the town if you don't come up here and agree to marry me.
But you can't.
Oh, can't I? I have a paper here that you signed. Now, if you don't come up, I'll publish it on the front page.
Be quiet. People will find out who you really are.
People, listen. I'm Harriet Amboy Wedgley, daughter of R.F. Wedgley, who owns 80% of the Morning Journal.
Oh,
and I'm in love with George McGill.
Ariel, for heaven's sake, be quiet.
I say I'm Harriet Amboy, and I'm in love with George McGill.
All right, I'll come up.
Hello, Jill.
Oh, I ought to beat you to a pulp.
Marry me and you can do it legally.
Everybody in town knows about this by
now. I do. Gio, don't you really love me? Tell me you don't and I'll stop all this right now.
Now look, Harvey. You know I love you.
You do love me?
Unfortunately, I do.
That settles it. You're not marrying my father.
Hmm?
You can quit the journal if you want to. We'll go somewhere and write those short stories and that novel you have in mind. That's what you really want to do anyway.
What would your father think about that?
He'd think it was great. If you don't believe me, climb down and ask him. He's standing in the crowd.
Oh, no. Well, now I know I'm through with the journal.
He's known about us all along because I told him.
Ariel, Harriet, Amboy, Wedgley, Harvey. Darling, you talked me into it. I'll marry you.
Oh, Gio, darling.
Just tell me one thing. Where did you get that copy of Leaves of Grass?
My father gave it to me to bring the two of us together.
Huh. Well, good old R.F. Sweetheart.
Yes, Gio.
Let's get out of here. Somebody else might want to use the tree.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Lee Bowman. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Lee Bowman?
Oh, fine, Art.
Lee is George McGill, reporter. I'd say you gave a splendid account of yourself. Nice going. A fine performance.
Well, thanks, Art. The story certainly helped. Fella can feel at home in that kind of role.
Well, I can paint you another situation, Lee, that's sure to promote that at-home feeling. Picture yourself as a parent.
Well, that's easy. I am a parent.
Well, then, you know exactly what it's like when a baby sets up a howl in the middle of the night, don't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I don't, Art. I never had that kind of trouble.
In that case, Lee, you and your wife were either lucky or wise enough to put the babies on Carnation Evaporated Milk. Carnation agrees wonderfully with even the tiniest babies, you know. It's so easy to digest, treats their delicate little systems ever so gently. And Carnation is safe, too. First, it's pasteurized, and then it's sterilized after the can is sealed. That makes Carnation doubly safe. As for nourishment, well, you just won't find a more beneficial milk for babies than Carnation. All those milk minerals, plus vitamin D. No wonder 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctor recommended it. It just goes to show you that Carnation is the milk every doctor knows. And now, Lee, for turning in such a swell performance, here's something we'd like you to have to give your lovely wife. This bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Well, that's very kind of you, Art. Helene will appreciate them, I know. Now, what's scheduled for next week?
Well, our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be Miss Lisbeth Scott.
Oh, fine. What story is she doing?
Well, it's an unusual and thrilling play called Night Operator.
Oh, sounds good, Art. I'll be sure and catch it. And now, goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Lee Bowman. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by John Michael Hayes. Supporting Mr. Bowman were Loreen Tuttle, Howard McNear, Sarah Selby, and Benny Rubin. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. The program was directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger, suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for Lisbeth Scott in Night Operator. And be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.